Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Everybody seems to be ready. Are you ready? For the first time in 3 years, the greatest rock and roll band in the world, the Rolling Stones! The Rolling Stones!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Rockin' the Suburbs. On behalf of Jim Linehan, my name is Patrick Foster. I want to welcome you to our show. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. And as a reminder, if you haven't already been, make sure to vote in our American Band Madness contest. It's taking place on Twitter and Facebook. And each day, there'll be a new matchup posted. There's a 64-team bracket that you can see just by going to our website, suburbspod.com, and right on the homepage, there's a little banner you can click on to see the bracket. We had a big upset yesterday with a 15 seed taking down a 2 seed. That was very satisfying from my personal point of view. All you have to do is put in the comments your choice in the matchup, and we will tally those up each day, and you will see the bracket move forward. And it's going to culminate in a big matchup right around the same time that the NCAA basketball tournament championship game is going to take place. So make sure you vote. Go to Suburbs Pod on the social medias. That's Facebook and Twitter, folks. Today's episode is going to be one of our At the Movies episodes, and while I didn't personally go to the movies to see this movie, I watched it on my laptop and put the headphones in and really concentrated on the film. And it's a movie that I'd only ever seen bits and pieces of. And I just happened to be doing some rereading of a couple sections of one of my all-time favorite books about music. I consider one of the greatest music books ever written, The True Adventures of the Rolling Stones by the journalist Stanley Booth from Memphis, Tennessee. And just was sort of realizing to myself, wait a minute, there's a whole movie, and I know I've seen parts of it, and it's called Gimme Shelter, and it was directed by, it's a documentary by Albert and David Mazels and Charlotte Zerwin. The film basically captures the last part of the Rolling Stones' 1969 tour of America, and it does have a heavy focus on Altamont, and that was the part of the movie I had seen, the Altamont sections, and had never really sat down and watched it, at least with the context of Stanley Booth's amazing book, which I've read two or three times, and I just love to go back and read certain passages when I'm interested in something from that time period. But the movie itself, you know, as they taught you in school that stories are supposed to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and a conclusion and all that, and a denouement or whatever. It really doesn't have that. I mean, you know, as a piece of cinema, it's okay. I didn't find it particularly compelling. I'm actually very glad I rented it instead of buying it. I was contemplating buying it, but I'm glad I did not, because the rental fee of $3.99 on Google Play was a much better deal, and I can't see myself rewatching it very much. And that's coming from somebody who rewatches movies constantly. But in a historical sense, it's an absolutely fascinating and important document because it documents that 1969 Rolling Stones tour. And even if you just take the Altamont piece of it away and put that to one side as a separate event, I just want to say really briefly why the 1969 Rolling Stones US tour was so important. It was the first time the Stones had toured the United States in 3 years, and their audience had changed, like the country, pretty drastically in that time. It was no longer them playing small theaters or, you know, little arenas where it was filled with screaming teenagers and people just going nuts when the band came on stage and you couldn't even really hear. And in the UK, famously, there was tons of riots that happened. And if you read Stanley Booth's book in parallel to the 69 tour, he goes back from the beginning and tells the story of the Rolling Stones and talks about all those riots that took place and how much screaming there was and tearing of clothes and hair. And so the Stones audience now had grown older and more mature, and also for the first time we're under the influence of marijuana and other substances. It was not a screaming bunch of teenagers. It was a more mature audience sitting there, in many cases, dancing and ready to listen to the music and absorb it in a deeper way. It was also the first time the band had toured the United States without Brian Jones. He had passed away not long before this. Mick Taylor was in the band at this point. It was the first time a band, the popularity, size, and influence of the Stones had taken their own mixing board and PA system with them. They wanted the sound to be better because of what they were trying to do and the statements they were trying to make. They had just finished recording the Let It Bleed album. They brought their own lights as well, so it was no flashy sort of default performing arts lighting. It was them doing the spotlights, Chipmunk doing the spotlights on Mick and Keith and everybody. And another thing that happened that was very important was Ronnie Schneider, who was the nephew of Alan Klein, who the Stones had recently just estranged themselves from, he wasn't around very much for this tour, had implemented a brand new strategy for revenue generation, and that was that the band would get 50% of their fee up front. They would also get a percentage of the box office, and they totally controlled, the Stones and Schneider, the merchandise part of the piece. So all the t-shirts and posters and programs, that was all money that was coming into them, and that had not happened before. No big band had done that on a big scale like that before. Also, on the November 9th concert of the tour, one of the early shows on the tour was recorded by the audience and bootlegged in one of the very first successfully distributed bootleg records. It was called Liver Than You'll Ever Be, and that was an impetus behind the Rolling Stones putting the Get Your Ya-Ya's concert album out, which mainly consisted of songs that you see some of the footage of in this movie. Madison Square Garden over the Thanksgiving weekend. They played three or four shows. I know they played a lot of these sets. They would play an early show and a late show, an afternoon show sometimes. But sometimes that second Stone show wouldn't start till 2 or 3 in the morning. And there's also some footage in there of a press conference where Mick famously answers a question if he's satisfied or the band is satisfied, and he answered famously financially dissatisfied, sexually satisfied, philosophically trying.
Are you any more satisfied now as far as your career?
Do you mean sexually or philosophically?
Both.
Yeah, we're more satisfied now sexually.
How about philosophically and financially?
Financially dissatisfied, sexually satisfied, philosophically trying.
There's also some amazing footage of the band at Muscle Shoals Sound Studio in Alabama, where they recorded Wild Horses and got their next album, Sticky Fingers, underway. And it's also a time when the band was playing probably as good as they ever had up to that point. And the recordings that you can hear on the Get Your Ya-Ya's Out and on the Gimme Shelter soundtrack are incredible. And The Altamont concert was not part of the agenda originally for the tour. That was tacked on at the end because there were complaints about the high ticket prices of the 69 tour, and the ticket prices ranged from $3 to $8. And, of course, now I don't even know if you can buy a bottle of water for $8 at a concert, much less a ticket. And there's a lot of footage of Melvin Belli, the famous San Francisco attorney, negotiating with the Altamont Speedway owners to try to set the whole thing up. And, of course, it just went wrong in many, many ways. There was a bad mojo, a bad vibe about the whole thing, and resulted in a tragedy that's one of the most well-known in rock and roll history. But to go back and look at the movie as a movie, as I said, I didn't find it particularly interesting as a film, you know, to approach it that way. But to look at it in bits and pieces as a documentary of history for those reasons, it's really fascinating. So it's almost one of those things where parts of it, you know, there's some footage of Tina Turner and Ike Turner playing at Madison Square Garden, and the footage of the Stones, the way it's put together. The Maisel's brothers were proponents of a thing called direct cinema, and that was basically making a reactive movie, letting the events dictate the way the film went. And in that sense, it's very successful as well. But I just found it pretty fascinating, and to me, it kind of works as a nice little companion to Stanley Booth's book. But the real story, I think, of the true adventures of the Rolling Stones is really in that book. But just to have it and look at it is pretty cool. And there's actually one moment where Stanley Booth is in the movie. They're in a hotel room in San Francisco, and they're listening to a tape, I think, of maybe Brown Sugar, that had been recorded at Muscle Shoals. And Keith and Mick and Stanley are all kind of dancing around the room while they're filmed. And parts of it are just really, really fascinating. And so it almost, you know, doesn't necessarily qualify as a movie as much as it does as a series of images put together that we should treasure. And for somebody who has spent so much of his life being obsessed with rock and roll and figuring out all the little details, it kind of blew my mind that I hadn't even sat down and looked at the movie. but yeah, it's really a fascinating document in many ways. It wouldn't, as I said, necessarily call it a great film, but it's an important film. And I think for rock and roll fans, it's definitely worth renting and watching. If you haven't actually done it, you know, do it if you've seen parts of it. But the context is very important to the whole thing. So I hope that shed a little light on the movie. I'd love to hear if anybody out there has recently watched the movie, or you saw it a long time ago, or what you think about it, or if you have any insight at all. I'd love to hear from you, and I think other listeners out there might be interested in that too, because I think we're all to some degree Stones fans, and if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are, and it would be great to get some more insight on it. I'd love to have people send in their comments. You can record a voice file and send it to rock@suburbspod.com, or you can just pick up the phone really quick if you're driving along and you have a thought, or you just have some time to kill while you're waiting for something. Just call 612-440-1984. And let me know what you think about Gimme Shelter. Just a quirky little thing that came into my mind, and I thought I'd put it together really quick for everybody to marinate in your brains. So let me know what you think, and especially if you actually end up renting or buying the movie and watching it again. I would recommend being in a spot where you can get the sound pretty good for yourself. You don't want to be washing dishes or something while it's on. You want to sit down and really, really concentrate on it, like Jim Linehan listening to Marquee Moon is the way we want to approach this. So let me know if you do that. Would love to hear about it. And we'll get some comments from people and get them on the air to everybody. I think that's an integral part of our podcast ecosystem, is the feedback from our amazing listeners. All right. Well, thanks, amazing listeners, for hanging in there while I rambled on about the Rolling Stones Gimme Shelter, the Maisel's brothers Gimme Shelter, along with Charlotte Zerwin, I should say. And if there are other documentaries out there that you've seen that you maybe think we should watch, let us know. We'll take that feedback too. All right. Tomorrow we'll have another topic for you on the podcast. I want everyone to enjoy the heck out of their Thursday, And we'll see you tomorrow on Friday with another episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I'm Patrick Foster, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Say like it.